When a baby is born, we are careful to bathe, clothe, and feed the infant. All this is done in order to ensure that this new creation is well on his or her way to a life of growth, health, and maturity. But when someone is born into Christ, we often simply congratulate them and send them into the world. As a result, churches are full of people who have been converted but never discipled, born but never grown, made new but never made mature. Disciples' Path, the journey, is an intentional one-year plan to move people toward maturity in Christ. The journey is a process to help believers grow into all the fullness of what God intends them to be. The journey is a path for Christians, both young and old, to become disciples who make disciples, who make disciples.
We need to train people how to walk with God on their own, train them how to reach their world, and train them how to invest in a few.
People are being informed, but they're not being brought up.
You want to be able to look back in 10 years and say, I'm different than what I used to be. I'm not the same follower of Jesus.
I don't want to imitate a personality. I want to imitate faith.
We just spent time together, and spending time with Cheryl, I was able to observe her life. I was able to observe the way she interacted with people.
Ron did a great job of kind of helping pull my eyes up and help me see how this fit into the bigger picture of the gospel and God's plan for my life.
Every faith family needs to have a way for people to grow in their faith. So if someone comes through your door, they need to know where they go to grow and what is the plan to grow in their faith.
The reason I'm so passionate about Disciples Path is it creates a clear path. Clarity leads to movement. And I pray that in God's good grace, Disciples Path would create that type of clarity that can lead to mass, widespread, Christ-exalting discipleship movement.
Amen. We are here to bring God glory by making more glorifiers. As disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Well, I want to welcome you to week number 4 of our series entitled Miraculous Metamorphosis, as we continue to take the journey with Jesus down the disciples' path. Today, we're going to focus on Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and we're going to key in on what it is and the value that we have in spending time with Jesus. Now, before I pray, friends, I've got to tell you that the Lord has made it very clear to me that this is a day, this is a message that is going to reach out and touch some of you in a way that will truly impact eternity. And so my prayer is, as we begin, that you will ask the Lord to prepare your hearts for something powerful and personal between you and Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come to you now, knowing what you have revealed to me and what you have told me to tell your people. And so now my prayer is simple, Lord. Help me to get out of the way and go get your sheep. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, friends, we're going to walk through a timeless truth, a passage that most people who are familiar with their Bibles know. But here's the takeaway. Here's the timeless truth. You are to know that you were created to know God in a deeply personal and passionate way. That's your purpose on this planet. Now, in the passage we're going to look at today, we will see the devoted, the distracted, and the discipled. And it's my prayer that you'll walk away with a better understanding of all three, and that if you are not in that devoted disciple position, and perhaps find yourself amongst the distracted, that the good news of this message will bring you back into that place, or perhaps introduce you to, for the first time, that place where you and Jesus are like this, where you and Jesus are intimate. Oh, may it be so. Friends, this is so important because, as you'll see, if you get distracted, if you get to that place where you're serving but you don't have any real joy, if you're doing duty without delight, there's a danger here. And I just want to put some things together for you, just connect some dots before we begin to help give us a context that I pray will prepare your heart. You see, the warning is here not to be distracted, because distraction leads to disgruntledness, and disgruntledness tends to lead to disobedience, and disobedience will most of the time lead to division, and division, it leads to dysfunction, and dysfunction leads to darkness, and darkness leads to the devil and the demonic. And friends, the devil and the demonic lead to death. Oh, do not doubt the dangers of distractions. Do not delve into distractions, friends. Oh no, I pray that you will live devoted with a singular cause, a singular focus, that you will be what Jesus calls a disciple. Oh, may it be so. Friends, let's jump right into our text, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I tell you, in verses 38 and 39, we'll see the devoted. In verse 40, we'll see what the distracted look like. And in verses 41 and 42, we'll see Jesus and the discipled. Amen. If you will, join me, Luke 10, verse 38. God's word says, "Now, as they were traveling along," so Jesus and all of his disciples, likely upwards of probably 50, 100, maybe even more, traveling with Jesus, and he entered a village, it's Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So understand this, that Martha is now welcoming Jesus and his entourage into her home. In their context, that meant that she would feed them, entertain them, and we know that Jesus is about to continue his ministry, preaching and touching and being with his people. So with that said, let me just kind of hit this from the treetops as I aim for your heart. I want to ask you to put yourself in Martha's shoes. Can you imagine a greater privilege wrapped in a higher set of responsibilities than to bring Jesus into your home, that you are going to have Jesus and his ministry and his disciples in your home? Can you imagine a greater privilege? Or perhaps a more daunting set of responsibilities? I want to ask you this. What would you do if you had been Martha? What would you do in that set of circumstances? Think about it, because this is at the heart of the message. The reality is, if we're honest, most of us would say, "I think I probably would do exactly what Martha did. I would get busy, and I would be doing my best to make sure that the Lord got my best, and that we put our best foot forward." And you see, we would be thinking that the doing would be the best thing that we could do. And we'd have all kinds of stuff to get done, right? That's exactly what we see here. Well, now let's look at the contrasting to that busyness that we see in Martha's sister, Mary. It's verse 39. She, Martha, had a sister named Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Note this, Martha's busy, balancing all the work that needs to be done in association with taking Jesus in and serving our Lord, right? I mean, virtuous activities here. Mary, on the other hand, she's doing two things. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's listening to his word. Now, this is the portrait of discipleship. Even in their day, this was such a countercultural portrait. You see, women weren't allowed to sit at the feet of teachers or rabbis. And in fact, it was said in the Mishnah that if a woman were to get the Torah and be discipled, better that the Torah be burned than a woman be discipled. That's how countercultural this is. And you know what? Mary doesn't care. Mary is so devoted to Jesus and wants so much to simply hear what he says and demonstrate her love for him, her worship for him, that she doesn't care what other people's expectations are. She doesn't care how she fits in or doesn't fit in. She obviously doesn't even care if it makes her family upset. She's so devoted to Jesus. That's the portrait that we have here. Mary is showing us a love for Jesus. One of the Puritans said, and I love this quote, Mary turned Jesus' seat into a pulpit, his feet into a pew, and the very room into a chapel. This is what it looked like to be there and see Mary so devoted to Jesus. Now, it's simple, right? She's committed to hearing him. She wants to worship him. And she's putting everything else, all expectations, and all other acts of busyness that she might otherwise balance like her sister, good things, she's laying them all aside for what I would say to you is a portrait of faithful obedience, loving devotion, no matter what. Well, let's see what happens when we get distracted. In verse 40, watch what is contrasted now to the devoted Mary. But Martha was distracted with all her services, all of her preparations. And she came up to him and she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her, don't miss that, tell her to help me. Wow. When we get distracted, oh, what trouble we can get in. Let's take a look at this. You see, Martha was distracted. Now, at this point, what we know, what we can say is defining is she's not sitting and she's not listening. She's not devoted to Jesus and the discipleship process. She's devoted to getting a lot of things done, right? Well, what distracts us sometimes? Let's be honest. Sometimes we're distracted by sin, no question about it. Other times, if we're honest, we're distracted by slippery slopes. Still other times, we can be distracted by serving. That's what Martha is showing us here. She's being distracted in serving. It's not the bad of sin. It's not the neutral even of a slippery slope. This is good. She's being distracted by the good of serving. You see, friends, she was balancing. She was taking all the things that were categorized as good and she's trying to get them all done. She's trying her best to do that which is good instead of doing the good, which is being devoted to the best. Oh, I wish that everyone could see this. Do not miss this, because at this point, we're having the entire passage's point set up for us. This is the thrust of the message. You see, Mary demonstrated a devotion and an intimacy with Jesus. Martha needs this intimacy with Jesus. And so do you and I. We can get so wrapped up like Martha. We can get distracted. Notice what she did. Here in verse 40, we see Martha was distracted. The word tells us that. We also see that she was disruptive. She broke in on what Jesus was doing to tell him something. She wasn't just disruptive. She was also dismissive. Do you not care? I mean, just think about that. Think about the pity party here. Think about how incredibly self-centered and self-absorbed. She's speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking, do you not care? Friends, when we get distracted, we start throwing ourselves pity parties. And pity is nothing more than pride turned inward. It's when everything becomes about us. You see, with Mary, everything was about Jesus. But with Martha, everything was about Martha. She was distracted, she was disruptive, she was dismissive, and she was also disgruntled. Note that. You lose your joy when you're focused on balancing all the good instead of focusing on and surrendering to the best. She got disgruntled. Lord, do you not see my sister? She's throwing her sister under the bus. The same sister who lives devoted to Jesus. Three times we see this Mary in the Gospels, and every time she's worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And Martha says there's something wrong with her. Well, note this. She's also disrespectful. When you get distracted, you get disrespectful. She actually says to Jesus, "Tell her." Now look, you and I, no matter what our circumstances, we don't ever tell God to do anything. At best, we ask, we cry out, we plead, but we don't tell God to do anything. And yet that's exactly what the distracted do. They become dismissive, disruptive, disrespectful, just like Martha. Friends, you and I, like Martha, we need an intimacy with Jesus. We need to come to him no matter what. If things are good, you need more intimacy with Jesus. If things are bad, you need intimacy with Jesus. If things are trying, you need intimacy with Jesus. If things are crashing all around you, you need intimacy with Jesus. He's the cure to your distractions. I want to show you this worship song, and I pray in a way that will invigorate your heart and inspire you to lay down the distractions and become devoted to Jesus.
We're all related, brothers and strangers. The king and the beggar bleed the same. We've all got a sickness, a terminal condition. We medicate it, but the pain won't go away. See the eyes of a million faces, looking for it in a million places. Only one can save us, Jesus.
You are the cure. Doctor, healer and father to the orphan without a home. Oh, we fell in the darkness, lost till you found us. You're the remedy we're looking for.
You are the cure.
Everybody's searching for it. Everybody's reaching out, trying to grab a hold of something real.
Jesus is the cure. No matter what you're up against, he's the cure. Listen to what the Bible Exposition Commentary says. Worship is at the heart of all that we are and all that we do in the Christian life. It is important that we be busy ambassadors, taking the message of the gospel to lost souls. It's also essential to be merciful Samaritans, seeking to help exploited and hurting people who need God's mercy. But before we can represent Christ as we should, or imitate Him in our caring ministry, we must spend time with Him and learn from Him. We must take time to be holy, end quote. Friends, good becomes bad when it hinders and hurts best. Don't miss that. The good becomes the bad when it hinders or hurts the best. And faithful obedience is always the best. Always the best. Now, the discipled, watch how the discipled become front and center as Jesus does the discipling. We've seen Him discipling Mary and Mary embracing the being discipled. Now watch as He disciples Martha. Verse 41. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried or anxious and troubled or bothered or upset about many things. Note here that it's the Lord who's speaking, and He's not going to let this go. You know, some might say, hey, can't we just say that what Martha's doing is good? It's just not best. I mean, is it really that big a deal? Well, notice this. Martha is paralleling for us a portrait of the prodigal's older brother. Note, you've got the same disgruntled frustration as the Lord is giving out His mercy and His grace as He's doing for others what the smug, pompous, religious rule keeper is getting upset about. That's what you and I see here. You see, it's been said, it's Warren Wiersbe, it says, if serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then something is terribly wrong with our service. You see, Jesus points out to Martha what's wrong with her attitude, with her aim. She's trying to serve two masters. She wants to do what needs to get done and somehow gain a rung up on the ladder by balancing all of the busy work, the good stuff, but not the best stuff. Jesus is pointing out that you cannot balance good when you're confronted with the best. There's only one best. There's no counterbalance to the best. The one thing never has anything else that weighs against it when you're worshiping the Lord, not to His glory anyway. We try to create that. That's what Martha's trying to do, everything instead of the one thing that is needed, to hear and obey and love and worship Jesus. Oh, friends, when might your work get in the way of your worship? Don't let it be so. Don't let it be so. Here again, Barnes, listen to his commentary. Over 100 years ago, the cares of this life are dangerous. The cares of this life are dangerous, even when they seem to be the most lawful and the most commendable. Nothing of a worldly nature could have been more proper than to provide for the Lord Jesus and supply His wants. Don't miss this. Nothing could be more proper than to meet the needs and supply the service that supports the Lord Jesus. Yet, says Barnes, even for this, because it too consumed her mind, the Lord Jesus gently reproved Martha. You see, the work was not too much for Martha. Martha just made too much of the work. She tried to balance instead of obey. She tried to balance instead of obey. Warren Wiersbe says, what we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Oh, I pray, friends, that if you, like Martha, might feel this loving reprimand, that you'll come to Jesus. That's the whole point. He's lovingly saying, Martha, 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 stop trying to balance the busyness. Stop trying to work and just come and genuinely love and worship me. Come, bring all your frailties, bring all of your stumbles. Just come, but truly, truly love and worship me. Bring a passion. Bring a passion. Come.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame.
Come as you are. Just come to Jesus. Come and lay down everything but your love. Come and worship him. Listen to verse 42 as we see this. It truly does come down to one thing, to faithfully obey, to love and to worship Jesus. He says, but only one thing is necessary. Do you hear that? That's Jesus. But only one thing is necessary, Martha. For Mary has chosen the good part, or the best, which shall not be taken away from her. Friends, hear Jesus. Only one thing is necessary. Oh, this should arrest our attention. This should grab our heart. What is the one thing, Jesus? What is that best? The one thing. He said, what you need is me. You need me not just one time long ago when you feel that you got saved. You need me today and every day, all day, every day. Come and live the life of faithful obedience. Cling to me. You know, it's like he's saying, I'm the first domino of 10,000 dominoes. Get this right and the rest will all fall in place. Stop focusing on the 9,999 other dominoes. Get the first one right. Come to me. Listen to me. Worship me and obey me, and everything else I will take care of. You see, friends, there's no balance here. There's no room for balance. I mean, think about it. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. You don't put something next to first. There can only be one first. Again, Jesus, what's the most important of all the commands, Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Listen, that's the only first. Well, how do you love me? He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, how do you know what he would have? Not just in the Ten Commandments and not just in the Bible. You cleave to him every minute of every day. At every turn, you ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? And you don't have to try to get everything done. You get done what he says. And like those dominoes, if you faithfully obey with what you have in front of you, he will make sure that everything else is taken care of. Oh, that we would come to have this Mary perspective and understand the trappings and the danger of the Martha perspective. You see, it's easier to be busy than to obey. It's easier to take the reins and try to do it ourselves and say, well, I know what needs to be done and I'm going to do, instead of just being and saying, Lord, help me to obey. What would you have here and now? Again, Barnes says, at the feet of Jesus, you'll find peace, purity, and joy. Everywhere else but at the feet of Jesus, there is an alluring and wicked world that steals our affections and renders us wicked, proud, and unwilling to die, end quote. Friend, you and I just need more Jesus. Like Martha, we need more of Jesus. We say, Jesus, come, fill me up. Fill me up. Oh, I pray that you will sing this song or hear its words and let it come into and then out of your heart. Please take this song in and let it minister to you, especially if you're a Martha.
You provide the fire.
Amen and amen. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. You bring the fire and I'll bring the sacrifice. Oh, that the Lord would do his work of refining here today. I pray if you find yourself in the fire of refinement, that you'll cry out to Jesus, that you'll realize that what you need is Jesus, intimacy with Jesus. Oh, friends, this is where you and I will see the gospel. Please see this. You want to find the good news in this passage? It's that all you need to do is come to Jesus. Repent and believe. Truly, throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Love him. Worship him. Lift up your praise. Want to walk and worship with him. And you won't believe what he can and will do. He will fill you up. He will fill you up. You see, when we prioritize the one right thing, he will take care of everything else. That's Romans 8:28. For he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Friends, that's a promise for every biblical believer. Let us not quench the spirit. Let us not get distracted. Right? It's at the very end. The last word in the book of Acts warns us not to get pulled away by hindrances. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that warns us not to get pulled into the neutrality, or so we think, of an encumbrance, those slippery slopes. Well, in and of them, there's nothing bad. They just pull us away from the Lord and his best, and that's where the bad is. No. I say to you, friends, beware the temptation to balance biblical hindrances or encumbrances or distractions, which by definition are anything and everything that get in between you and a loving, spirit-led, yes, Lord, faithful obedience. I want to leave you with an extended time of worship now. One that is designed to say to you, especially if today you find yourself saying, I feel like Martha. I want to bring you back to the feet of Jesus. Or I want to introduce you to the feet of Jesus and let the words of this message, the truth and the love of Luke 10, 38 through 42, wash over you. That God would do what only he can do. We're told that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Well, you've heard the word of God. You've heard that the call, the one thing, the one necessary best thing is to become a disciple of Jesus. That you will live in faithful obedience and nothing else. That you'll lay down the busyness of balancing acts and trying to do enough. Listen, your heart is enough. Your heart is enough, and your faithful obedience will get everything done that needs to get done, and it will leave what needs to be left. That's why when you look at the call on every Christian's life to bear much fruit, which you'll say, well, that's why I've got to be busy. No, you're to do this one thing and to faithfully obey. You see, when you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and when you put him first in all things, and when you live in faithful obedience, he will get done through you what is to be done here. He will turn left or right as he would have done as you simply faithfully obey. And every time you and I try to balance things in the name of discernment, or truthfully, in the midst of distractions, we run the risk of what we see in Martha, becoming distracted, disgruntled, disillusioned, disruptive, and even directly disrespectful to our Lord. I want to call you to the altar that is the feet of Jesus. I want to encourage you to give him everything and to cry out that he fill you up. We're going to take the next 15 to 20 minutes just to worship. just to be like Mary. And if you're uncomfortable with this, I'm sorry. I pray that you will get comfortable and just sit and let God's word soak in. Pray what you've heard. Let these songs take you to the feet of Jesus. The elders and I will be up and available to pray with you or for you. And we'll be available long after the videos close. Please, please, please reach out to us. Let us know where and how we can help you get to the feet of Jesus, where and how we can help you to hear, listen, and to obey his word. Lord, I pray that you'll take this next 15 to 20 minutes and that you will truly do an eternal work. We love you, Lord Jesus. Help us to love you more and better every day and to lay down our busyness and to walk in faithful obedience and to recognize that being obedient does not mean being busy. Sometimes we'll rest. Sometimes we'll go. Sometimes we'll listen and sometimes we'll teach. We just want to be who you've called us to be. No more, no less, no matter what. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let these songs speak to your heart, I pray.
Have you come to the end of yourself? treasure we found.
You can have it all.
the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I will open up inside. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice.
Till I